kind of letters. There are five letters in the Hebrew alphabet that have two shapes. It's at the end of the letter has one shape, in the middle of the letter, the beginning of the letter has a different shape. The Gemara says, Mansipach Tzofim Amarim, that the Nevi'im and the later generations were the ones who came up with this. The Gemara says that's against Halacha. And Nori Rosh Halacharish Dovah Miyata, we learn out from the Pasuk in Chumash that only Moshe Rabbeinu can say Dinim Ledoris. And no other Navi after Moshe Rabbeinu can say any Dinim Ledoris. By definition, that's what Nevuah means as opposed to Torah. Nevuah means Ohiru Ashur, and Torah means a Din Ledoris. That's in the Torah Or, on the side of the, on the margin of the Gemara, he's mitzayin vayikro chav zayin. The Marsha writes that he thinks that he's quoting the concluding pasuk in Chumash. Either Gemara is quoting the concluding pasuk in Chumash vayikro, the concluding pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar. They're practically identical. There's just a slight difference between the two, and the Netziv has a whole explanation why there's this slight difference. So the Marsha thinks that it makes more sense if it's the concluding pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar, because Chumash Dvarim is just Mishnah Torah. Chumash Dvarim, we assume Moshe Rabbeinu is just reviewing everything before he dies, and Chumash Bamidbar is really the conclusion of the whole of all the dinim. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu writes in the last in the last pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar, Eilaha mitzvus asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. These and only these are the mitzvus that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. No other Navi can add on a mitzvah. Mitzvah by definition means a din which is noig l'doiris. That's how Rashi writes in his opening comment on Parsha Sav. In Loshen Sav, Loshen Zira is miyada l'doiris. That's one of the Rambam's principles. The Rambam has a Sefer HaMitzvahs where he lists off what he thinks are the 613 mitzvahs. So the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he has the 14 Sharoshim, the 14 Klolim that guide him to determine what belongs in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and what not. And when should it be counted as one mitzvah? When should it be counted as several mitzvahs? So the Rambam has one of his harashim is that whatever is only harasha doesn't belong in the sefer mitzvahs. For example, not to leave over the mon till the next morning. To eat up the mon on the same not to eat obviously. He says that was only harasha. Or vishuali shemishchent migores basic leches vechleizor b'smolas, that they should knock on the next neighbor's door and ask them matonis before they leave Egypt. That was only Hayrasha on Pesach Mitzrayim. Al Eitzish me Pesach Beisad Boker. That's on the Hayrasha. Only applied to Pesach Mitzrayim. Didn't apply to Pesach Deris. The Mishnah Psochim and the Tosefta discussed Mabein Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Deris. Which one of the dinim of Pesach Mitzrayim were Hayrasha? And which one of the dinim were the Deris? So all of those dinim that were only Hayrasha, the Rambam says, are not included in the Minyan Mitzvahs. Hari Mismatcha Layam of Koei. It was once in the history of the world. Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to hold up the stick, his cane, and to do a Kriyas Yamsum. So that doesn't belong in the Sefer HaMitzvah. Sefer HaMitzvah only applies mitzvahs that are Noeg L'doris. Mitzvahs that are Noeg L'doris, the Ramban disagrees with several of the mitzvahs of the Rambam. So he deleted about 16 in the mitzvahs Asay, and he leaves out also 16, 17, 18 in the mitzvahs Leises, and has to replace them with other mitzvahs, because everybody agrees it has to add up to 248 mitzvahs Asay, and 365 mitzvahs lois essay. So the Ramban and mitzvahs essay dalid and the mitzvahs shehishmitam harambam counts the mitzvah that we should all live in Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam quotes the dinim in the Mishnah Torah, but he didn't include this in the minyan mitzvahs. That it's a mitzvah for all the Jews to live in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the Ramban's taina. The Rambam should have included it. So the Megillas Esther on the side of the Rambam understood the Ramban's Hasoga and the Rambam that he didn't count the mitzvah of establishing a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. Truth of the matter is that the Rambam did count that mitzvah. The Ramban says in mitzvah says it dalet v'horashta mesoretz v'yishavtim bo. You should establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. You should all live. Everyone should move to Eretz Yisrael. So the Megillas Esther understood that the Ramban's kasha was on the Rambam why the Rambam didn't include the mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So again, truth of the matter is that the Rambam did. Rambam says that in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and in the Mishnah Torah, Gimel Mitzvahs Nistaviso Bichnisosim La'aretz, that the Jewish people became obligated to fulfill three mitzvahs when they entered Eretz Yisrael. The first is to establish a Jewish government, and the second is to wipe out Amalek, and the third one is to build a Beis HaMikdash, to build a Beis HaPchir. So the Pashtus is that that mitzvah the Rambam did count. The Kasha of the Ramban against the Rambam is not why he didn't count the mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. The question was why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Rambam only counts the mitzvah l'manas lahem melech, l'hamid lahem melech, l'achar zarish al-malech, l'ibnus beis apchir. Ramban says, rather than quote that mitzvah, Lahamid Lahamelach, which doesn't say anything about leaving Eretz Yisrael, Rama should have quoted the other pasuk, Vaharashta Masarat V'Yishaftim, but that has two parts to it. To establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, and also that we should all live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Megillah says there could be that he misunderstood the whole Hasagas Ramban. So Lefi Havanasa, according to what he understood, so he comes to defend the Rambam. Megillas Esther was written by a man who dedicated the Sefer memory of his mother. His mother Esther died before he was about to go to prison. So he calls it, he writes an introduction. That's why he calls it Megillas Esther. So he thinks, he always defends the Rambam, from all of it, whether right or wrong. Rambam's always right. Like the Migdalois on the side of the Rambam. He always defends the Rambam from the Hasagas of the Ravid. Right or wrong, even the most difficult Rambam, that Mamash doesn't make any sense, and they write the quotes that Moshe Rabbeinu said against the Rambam. No, Rambam is right, Moshe Rabbeinu is wrong. So the same thing Megillah says, the Rambam is always right. Whatever the Rambam said, the Rambam is always right. So on this Rambam, why the Rambam didn't count this mitzvah to establish a Jewish government, that's how the Megillah says to understand the Kash. So he said, no, because the Rambam says he only included in the Minyan HaMitzvahs and Mitzvah, which is Neheges L'Doris. And the Gemara says that there's a period of time when you're not allowed to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. That the Gemara quotes in the end of Ksubis that the pasuk appears three times in Shir HaShirim, Hishbati Eschem Enos Yerushalayim Yom Teirim Torah Sohavah Tzatechpot, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the Jewish people take a Shavua, and it says three times, and the Gemara says Gimel Shavua, so Hishbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the Jewish people to take three Shavuas, and one of them was that we won't establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael against the wishes of the Goy. So since Bizman Hazeh, the Megillah Esther says, since Bizman Hazeh, the mitzvah is not Noheges, it's not a mitzvah hanoheges l'dervis, so that's why it doesn't belong in the minyan mitzvah. So the Avnei Nezer is masig on the Megillah Esther. He said that's not a valid reason. The mitzvah of hakrovas karbonos doesn't apply bizman hazeh either because we don't have the beis hamikdash. According to the Rambam, the mitzvah of hafrashas trumas ha'maisus is only midirabbanan today. It's not minatora because we're lacking biyaskulchem kol yoshvel. Whatever the explanation for the Rambam. And nonetheless, the Rambam did count all the mitzvahs of Hakrovas HaKarbonis and all the mitzvahs of Hafreshes Trumas HaMaizis. Because in theory, they do apply Bizman HaZeh. You just don't have the conditions. You're going to say the mitzvah Makkah doesn't apply if you sleep in the park, if you're homeless and you sleep in the park. But I have a home, but we don't use our roof. No one uses the roof by us. Only when it's leaking, so the roofer comes to fix the roof. So you're not mechuyav to make a Makkah unless someone uses the roof. They're going to say, the mitzvah of Makkah is not Noheges L'Doris because it doesn't apply to you. No, it's Noheges L'Doris. It applies if you have a house with a roof, that people use the roof. If you have all the conditions met, then you have the mitzvah. So the mitzvah of Hakrovas HaKarbonis applies L'Doris whenever you have a Beis HaMikdash. So the mitzvah of Hafreshes Trumas HaMaisis applies L'Doris whenever you have all the conditions met. So the mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael also applies L'Doris. If you have the conditions met, if it's not against the wishes of the Goyish nation. No, the Shavua Shalom Yimbadu Ba'umas. We shouldn't rebel against the nations who will be Sholeit on Eretz Yisrael. We shouldn't force the issue to establish a government against their wishes. But if we ask him and they agree and they mask him and they give us Eretz Yisrael, so then it's Taka Mitzvah to do it in a peaceful fashion without Sholeyala Bachayim and not to force the issue. So if they do it in a peaceful fashion, then there is a Mitzvah. The Yisrael only is against the wishes of the ones of the Goyim HaSholeit on Eretz Yisrael. What happened was they pressured the British, they were killing British people and bombing all the hotels and so on, they were pressuring them to keep their promise in the Balfour Declaration. They asked them, in the middle of the First World War, they asked them they should give Eretz Yisrael to the Jews, and they said okay. So they made the Balfour Declaration, giving it to the Jews for their political cheshbonos. And then they didn't keep their promise, and then the Jews pressured them to keep their promise. So that's a question, maybe when they pressured them, maybe that was in violation of Shalim or Dubu'umetz. The pressure they're going to keep their promise that they weren't pressured to make. They made the promise because of political consideration. So maybe that wasn't Easter. I don't know. But Lamala Vilamorid, it's still a mitzvah on a Hegis L'Doris. If it wouldn't be under conditions of pressure, then everybody's masking that it's a mitzvah. So that's what the Avnei Nezer writes, the defense that the Megillah Esther gives for the Rambam is very schwach. He says he doesn't think it's correct. He said, that's not what it means. A mitzvah and a hekdesh ledoyeh doesn't mean it's noig in every single generation. It means in theory. Theoretically speaking, it's possible that the mitzvah will come up again. It's not a hoy rosho. So that's the basic definition. That's the basic distinction between nevuah and Torah. Nevuah, by definition, means a hoy rosho. When a Navi comes, it says, I love Tishmo, and you have to listen to the Navi. The Navi tells you, you should do this, you should do that. What the Navi tells you, you have to listen to, that means by definition, a hoy rosho. But if the Navi tells you that from now on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to keep Shabbos like this, and keep Kashrus like that, and to observe mitzvahs like this, and this new mitzvah, and take away a mitzvah, that's what Yoshke did, no? So the Rambam says, that's a Navi Yosheke. When a man comes and he says he has a nevuah that God changed his mind, that from now on, you should keep Shabbos on Sunday, you should do this and do that and do the other thing. That we assume he's a Navi Yosheke, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never send such a Navi. That's against this principle. Ela mitzvah shei Navi Yoshalachadish Dovah Meyata. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested, the teretz on the Minchas Chinuch's kasha. And he printed this. This was part of his hesped that he delivered when his uncle, Rav Elbala Soloveitchik, passed away. So part of his hesped was this, that the Minchas Chinuch is bothered with a kasha. The Mishnah says in the end of Sanhedrin, one who is mevater al divrei novi is chayiv misa b'dei shamayim. There are people who are chayiv. Skilos, Sreifa, Heret, Chenet, Kores, a list of people the first Mishnah increases who's Chayv Kores. Then the Gemara quotes in Sanhedrin Daf Pei Dalet, Tosefta, that lists off all of those who are Chayv Nisa B'dei Shamayim. So the Gemara quotes that Tosefta in the context of the Mishnah. The Mishnah lists off one of the people who's Chayv Nisa B'dei Shamayim is one who's Mevater Al Divrei Novi. A Novi tells you that you have to do this, that, and the other thing, and you laugh at the Novi, you don't listen. So the Poshut Pshat in the Mishnah, one could say, Mevater Adavrei Novi, he makes light of the whole thing. He jokes about it. What if he takes it seriously? The Novi says, you have to go on a diet. I was told, Men HaShemayim, you have to go on a diet, and you have to stop eating all the potato chips, and the cookies, and the ice cream, and everything. And the guy says, Oi, I accept it, Men HaShemayim, I accept it, but I can't control myself. So you're going to say, it's Chayv Nisa B'dei Shamayim. That's not Mevater Adavrei Novi. He says, Mekabo. He's mekabel what the Navi says. He believes the Navi, that he's not allowed to do it, but he says, I can't control myself. He has such an appetite, such a desire to eat all the fasting foods. He says, he can't. So the pastors, one can say that that's not chai mitzvah b'dei shamayim. The Mishnah only says, ha-mevater al divrei Navi. That's what it sounds from Rashi on the Mishnah. So the Minchas Chinuch points out that you look in the Rambam changed the Loshon. Instead of the Loshon on Mishnah, we ought to take a look where this Mishnah is. Instead of the way the Mishnah says, Hamavata al Divrei Novi, the Rambam writes, Ha'oivar al Divrei Novi. That's a different story. Oivar al Divrei Novi means you violate what the Navi told you. The Navi tells you not to eat the ice cream, and then you just can't control yourself, and you violate the instructions of the Navi. So even in such a case, this is on Pei Tes Amid Aleph. Hamavata al Divrei Novi. Rashi writes, Hamafkiram. Sounds like he laughs at the whole thing. He doesn't take it seriously at all. So the Minchas Chinuch is medayik. He gets the impression from the way Rashi translated the word hamavater, hamafkiram, shaloichoshesh at all, that if he's just over al divrei novi according to Rashi, perhaps it wouldn't be misa b'dei shamayim. But he says the Rambam writes it otherwise. The Rambam writes over al divrei novi is misa b'dei shamayim. So the Minchas Chinuch is bothered with akasha. What do you have to have a list of people? What do you need that whole Tosefta? It gives you a list of people who are Chayiv Nisa B'dei Shamayim. The Tosefta is on Pei Gimel Amid Aleph. It's a Tosefta increases and a Tosefta in Zvochim. And it's quoted in Sanhedrin Daf Pei Gimel Amid Aleph, 10 lines from the top. Gufo V'Elu Shevimiso. And a list of 10 people or so. A list of 10 people, not a long list, who are punished with Nisa B'dei Shamayim for averes that they violated. So what do you have to give such a short list? Moshe Rabbeinu was also a Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu told us not to talk Lashon Hara. So whoever talks Lashon Hara is Chayiv Nisa B'dei Shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu said you have to sit and learn. You're not let it be Mevatel Zman. So whoever is Mevatel Zman is Nisa B'dei Shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu said you have to say Kriya Shema Bizmanoi. So whoever misses Kriya Shema Bizmanoi, whoever is lazy, misses Kriya Shema, is Chayiv Nisa B'dei Shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu is a Navi. Any Avere, whoever eats Chazer, Chazer, we think Chazer is only Malkus. No, Chazer should be Nisa B'dei Shamayim. Whoever violates any Avera that Moshe Rabbeinu said should be punished with Nisa B'dei Shamayim. Should be Oivar Divrei Novi, should be Chai Nisa B'dei Shamayim. Never heard of such a thing. How can it be? So this is the Minchas Chinuch's Kasha. So the Rogatchover tries to farenfer. Different suggestions are given to farenfer the Kasha. So the Rogatchover dug up Epsom Medrash Rabbah somewhere, which he interprets to mean that the Dorish al Moshe, during the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, whoever heard directly from Moshe Rabbeinu would have to be punished in Mitzvah Midei Shamayim. Any sneeze that they violate, any little thing that they violate, talk Lashon Hara, you cheat on income tax, any little aver that you do, Mitzvah Midei Shamayim. But in the later generation, since we didn't hear it directly from Moshe Rabbeinu, even though Moshe Rabbeinu was the biggest Navi of all the Navim, he was Adon HaNavim, that's not called the Eivah Dei Rei Navi. It's a chiddush that you only punish Mitzvah Midei Shamayim if you heard it from the Navi directly. It doesn't really say this in any source. He quotes a Sifrei that it says it by Zaken Mamre, that the Zaken Mamre is only Chayiv Misa, the whole story of Zaken Mamre only applies if he heard the Psak directly from the Bez Nagol. So this is a Tushtel. This is a hashvah. Perhaps, ula, yesh loimar, just like Zaka Mamre is only, the Sifrei says, and the Gemara never says it, the Sifrei says, that the Zaka Mamre only has a special punishment if he heard directly from the Psak from the Bez Nagodol. So perhaps the same applies to Ebrad Dibei Novi. Others give other answers. Rav Soloveitchik suggested a different theory. He said, no, Ebrad Dibei Novi means if the binding force of what he tells me is Betoras Nevuah. So if he's a Navi other than Moshe Rabbeinu, so what he tells me is a Nevuah. By definition, that means a Hirasha. But if it's Moshe Rabbeinu, some of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu said were Betoras Nevuah. And some of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu said were Betoras Torah. Those are Betoras Nevuah were only Hirasha. Let's say Moshe Rabbeinu told all the people to knock on the necks of neighbor's doors and ask for Matonis before Yetzias Mitzrayim. So whoever wouldn't do that mitzvah would have to be punished with Misa B'dei Shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu told the people not to leave over the mon. That Avera, not to leave over the Mon, is Ari Rasha. Only applies calls Mon that they're in the Midbar. It doesn't apply Lederus. So whoever would leave over the Mon would have to be punished with Misa B'dei Shamayim. But most of the time, Moshe Rabbeinu said over Dinim, they weren't merely Ari Rasha. They were Noeg Lederus. So there, true, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Novi, he was the Adon Anavim, but he had no senes. Because these are Dinim that are Noeg Lederus. That's called Torah, that's not called Nevuah. And Torah has its own system, so sometimes you have Misa, and sometimes you have Koris, and sometimes you have Malkus, and sometimes you have Misa B'dei Shamayim. You have a whole system with different onshim. You don't say that whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said, because he's Adon HaNaviim, automatically it's covered with the din of Ovei Rabbi Rei Novi.
Well, it sounds like the
Rambam
is something that was said with the Doro, even still, that
then has a din of Torah, right? Has a din of mitzvah. Ein loshen saba, loshen ziris miyada l'deres. Then it's called a mitzvah. That's the drasha. Eilah mitzvahs, asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Mitzvahs means things that are tzivuyim, that are binding throughout all the future generations. That's the connotation of the word mitzvah. Was only those dinim that were told to Moshe Rabbeinu. No other navi is going to get such a nevuah. And if a person comes up, the Rambam writes. And if a person comes and he says, I got a Nevuah, that the Rebbeinu Shlom said, changed his mind, and the din is like so, then the Rambam says, Yodua, that is a Novi Asheker. Yeah.
You said before that the Midos Esther misunderstood the Rambam.
Could well be.
Can you clarify on that?
Yeah, the Pashtus is that the Ramban was masig on the Rambam, that the Rambam failed to count the mitzvah that we have to live in Eretz Yisrael. But the mitzvah to establish a Jewish government, that the Rambam also counted. The Rambam writes, Gimel mitzvahs nitztav Yisrael b'chnisosim l'oret l'hamid l'hemelach l'ach v'zal shalom olek l'liv nislam beis adchir. So the pashtus l'hamid l'hemelach is the mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. What the Ramban added in mitzvah sesei dalet n'hashmatis was a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, which the Rambam quotes the Dinam in the Mishnah Torah, but he never counts it as a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. But that was what the Ramban said. He should have counted that pasuk v'harashtem asorot v'yishavtem bo. Not so much v'harashtem asorot. V'harashtem asorot is the mitzvah to establish a Jewish government. But v'yishavtem bo, to live in Eretz Yisrael, that's what the Ramban's hasoga was. So the Megillas Esther took it as if the Ramban's hasoga was that the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah to establish a Jewish government, which he did count. So if our emphasis is because that's not a mitzvah hanu hegis l'dor, but the Rambam did count l'hamid l'hamela. The Rambam counts l'hamid l'hamela. So what he's saying is against the Rambam himself. So that's what Avnei Nezer says. That is called nohegis l'dor. So Avnei Nezer explains that the Ramban's whole asog only was on the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael.
Do you understand the Gemara Shmuel supply only faking government, or as opposed to living on the body?
take over, yeah. I think to take over the government in Eretz Yisrael. But to live in Eretz Yisrael, that was always a mitzvah, to live in Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah b'shleimusa to live in Eretz Yisrael is when it's under Jewish control. Barash the Mesaret v'shaftim bo. All the years that it wasn't under Jewish control, it was always an incomplete mitzvah. That's how the Achronim said. Amnenez and others say like that. So the pasuk seems to say, Barash the Mesaret v'shaftim bo. But there always was a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. That was never canceled. I mean, now there is a Jewish government that has control over large areas of Eretz
Yisrael.
So that's a different story. That's another thing. The Gemara says that that's one of the Malchamis Mitzvah. That the Jewish people is obligated to go to war as much as they don't enjoy losing lives. They're obligated to go to war to maintain Jewish control over whatever part of Eretz Yisrael they have. Provided that they know in advance that they're winning the war. There's no mitzvah to fight a losing war. So that's a shayla. Are they winning the war? Are they losing the war? And how do you determine whether you're winning the war? Who determines? Who decides whether you're winning the war or losing the war? That's the serious shame. The Rambam never included in the Minyan HaMitzvahs a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. He writes all the dinim in the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam writes all the dinim in Hilchos Malachim, and he never said in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. He never says so that's Taka. That's the Ramban Hasogan. That's the Kasha. That's what the Yavnei Nezer. Many others suggest that it must be that it's understood that it's included in some other mitzvah. So the Avnei Nezer says, well, you have the mitzvah Hachreim Tachrimim. You have a mitzvah to wipe out the Zaynumis. So what does that mean? Wipe out the Zaynumis, and then after you do your job, then you go back to Borough Park. Then you go back to Muncie. No. Hachreim Tachrimim, and you live there. After you wipe out the Zaynumis, so you live there. So Ramban says, he quotes from an earlier sefer, the Mayoni HaChochma, a commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs by Rambam, who answers a different kasha on the Rambam, then whenever there are two mitzvahs, and one mitzvah is for the purpose of leading up to another mitzvah, so you don't count it twice. Either count the first one or the second one. It doesn't make sense to count it twice. And since the Rambam ran and counted, Hachrim Tachrimim, so it does make sense to count the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, because that's what the purpose of Hachrim Tachrimim is, to wipe out the Zaynumis, in order that we should be able to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's the Avnei Nezer's suggestion. Others give other suggestions, that it's a mitzvah to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Voi Sidbok, and one who lives in Eretz Yisrael has more Hashgacha Pratis than one who lives in Chutz Lo'ot, and therefore the way to fulfill, one of the ways of fulfilling Voi Sidbok is to live in Eretz Yisrael. Others along these lines, they say that it's the Ramban HaChumash says, we spoke last week, that the Ramban writes, the Iker place for the Shmiras HaMitzvahs is really in Eretz Yisrael. Kodeh Matan Torah, the August, volunteered as an enemy to fulfill the Mitzvah Torah, that was only in Eretz Yisrael. And Yankin Nasser Shteachayis, that was in Chutzlot. Chutzlot, it didn't make sense to volunteer to observe any of the mitzvahs, only in Eretz Yisrael. So even after Matan Torah, the Ramban also writes, the Ikem Mokum for Shmiras HaMitzvahs is in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what some Achranim say. Why didn't the Rambam count as a separate mitzvah, the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? You don't have to. It's an enhancement of the mitzvah of Tzitzis, an enhancement of the mitzvah of Tfilin, an enhancement of the mitzvah of Sukkah, of Lulav, of Shofar, of Machalos Asuras, of Shabbos, of Kashrus, of Taras HaMishpacha, living in Eretz, doing the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, an enhancement in each and every one of the mitzvahs, like the Ramban Sanachon. And all the other suggestions to for the Rambam, why the Rambam didn't count as an independent mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, basically they're all the same. It's included in the already existing mitzvahs. It's part of the other mitzvahs. Some say it's a mitzvah klolis. It's a mitzvah klolis to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's the makom of Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs Kulam. So the Rambam writes that the Torah, we don't count in the Tariq mitzvah, you don't count the mitzvahs klaliot. All the terutzim are on the same line. Anyway, this is a...
You wish to make
He shot them both
to
live in Eretz Yisrael.
So that's the mitzvah. I don't understand. That's clearly
there. Right. Right. The Rambam quotes all the dinim also, but he never counted when you mean you're not mitzvah, he never counted that mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban quoted this pasuk, or why didn't the Rambam count the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? So the Megillah Esther understood the Ramban's kasha, why didn't count to establish Boharashim the Torah, to establish a Jewish government? That the pasuk says the Rambam did count. And the Megillah Esther defended the Rambam, why he didn't count the mitzvah to establish a Jewish government? Because it's not noig b'daris. So the Rambam Nathan said, what do you mean it's not noig b'daris? It is noig b'daris. Under certain conditions, it's not noig.
Isn't the mitzvah of
Rambam does include that mitzvah.
That's the reason that we say that the government is not the Torah, because before we had Malkut Beit David, then we did have a government, but it was Malkut Beit David. Now that we're going to have Malkut Beit David,
Malchus Beis David is the mitzvah Bishnei Musa. That's the Malchus Hanacheres. For many years, there was no Malchus Beis David. There was a Jewish government in the Bay Sheni. They never had Malchus Beis David. There was, and no one had the Sheikh B'Shem and Amishcha. No one was Malchus Beis David. And they still were in partial fulfillment of the mitzvah of Lahamed Lahamelach. The real mitzvah Bishnei Musa, Lahamed Lahamelach, is it should be from the Malchus Hanacheres and Malchus Beis David. The mitzvah is to have a Malchus. If you have a democratic government, Halavai would be democratic. It's not democratic. If you have a Jewish government it is. That's why it's almost anti-Semitic. It wouldn't be a Jewish government, all the Arabs wouldn't be killing someone. So obviously it's a Jewish government. So the mitzvah is to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael that should control Eretz Yisrael, that should rub all the Arabs the wrong way. That's exactly what the mitzvah is. To establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. That's what they have. So the Rambam has a big makes a big point of this. Eila hamitzvah sheinover shalach harish dover miyata. The Rambam alludes to Yoshke and to Mohammed as the two. To Mohammed, he always refers to as the metura, the meshugim, and the Yoshke. Stop. So he says that whether the Novi Asheker is from gets up from amongst the Jews, he's referring to Yoshke, or he gets up from amongst the non-Jews, that's Mohammed. He has a din of Novi Asheker. That's interesting. The Rambam says that a goy who's a Novi Asheker is also a Chai Nisa. How did he know? Novi Asheker, a goy? It's not from the Sheva Mitzvahs, but he knows that he shouldn't. He gets up and makes up a whole Baba Mice and he tells everybody starts a new religion. So what's exactly, how did he know that there's a din? That's what they ask on the Rambam. I think that's something funny. How does he ask on the Rambam? How did he know that the din of Novi Asheker, Hilchus Yisari Ather, the Rambam writes, Ben Yisrael, Ben Yom Soilam. It's clear that he's alluding to Yoshke and to Mohammed, but how does he know that that's Taka the Din? That there is a Din of Navi Asheker by the Yom Soilam. So, anyway, this Pasuk, Gela Mitzvah, is a very important Pasuk. It's the Pasuk that appears at the very end of Ayikra and at the very end of Bamidbar. The Marsha, the Chidushi Agada, thinks that the Gemara is alluding to the concluding Pasuk in Bamidbar, because he says, Chumish Dvarm is just a Hazar, that's why it's called Mishnah term. Mishnah term means a repeat. So just a review of all of the other dinim that were included in the first four svarim. So that at the conclusion of the fourth sefer of Bamidbar, so it says Eila mitzvah hashem tziva Hashem es Moshe. Only these are the mitzvahs. That's what the Rambam, we mentioned it. The Rambam and the Pirush Hamishnayos and Teragid Anoshim makes a big fuss about that on Parshas Vayishlach. The Mishnah in Chulin and Teragid Anoshim has a machlokes hatanaim. Rabbi Yudan and Rabbanan, was the mitzvah of Gid Anoshim given to Bnei Yaakov? Okay, it says after the Malach broke his leg, Alkein Leochem Bnei Yisrael's Gid Anoshe. So it doesn't mean the mitzvah not to eat Gid Anoshe, that prohibition was given to Bnei Yaakov at that time. Alkein Leochem Bnei Yisrael is Gid Anoshe. Shal Kapeh Bnei Yisrael means the children of Yaakov Avinu, whose name was just changed by the angel to be Yisrael. That's how he translated. Or they say no, Bnei Yisrael means the Jewish people. They weren't given. Gid Anoshe wasn't given on this occasion. Gid Anoshe was given at Maimon Har Sinai. It was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't given to Bnei Yaakov. But it's written over here, Al Shem HaAsid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, write the whole story, and put in parentheses, Arkein Liyach Bnei Yisrael, Gidon Nasha. That's why I commanded you at Har Sinai that the Jewish people after Matan Torah are not allowed to eat Gidon Nasha, but not that Bnei Yaakov weren't allowed to eat it. That's the Pashup Shat in the Mishnah. That is a Machlekes Satanaim, and the Mishnah has enough Kamina La'alacha. Mishnah has enough Kamina Ladina, where the Gidon Nasha is Noig Bebehem Betmeil. Because Pashup Shat Kodem Matan Torah, they were permitted to eat non-kosher animals. They were permitted to eat horses and pigs and elephants and so on. So if they were permitted to eat horses and elephants, so the Torah says they're not allowed to eat Gidon Nasha. So after the Torah is given, and they're not allowed to eat horses anymore, so now you're going to say that the prohibition of Gidon Nasha no longer applies to horses, because you can't eat the whole meat. So what's the chiddush that you're not allowed to eat Gidon Nasha? You can't eat the whole horse? No, once it applied to horses, so it continues to apply to horses. So that's the simple reading of the Mishnah. There's Machlekes HaTanoim, Rabbi Yudah Nachachamim, where the Gidon Nasha was given to Bnei Yaakov, or was not given to Bnei Yaakov. Historical machlokes, and the nafkamina lalacha is whether Gidon Asher is noig bebehemoth tmeo or not. It's self understood. The prohibition of Gidon Asher was only given to those animals that are edible, that are kosher, so you shouldn't eat the Gidon Asher. But you can't eat to all animals. The Torah didn't speak about not eating the Gidon Asher of such an animal. That's a simple pshat. The Rambam, both in the Pirush HaMishnayos as well as in the Mishnah Torah, does not understand the machlokes like that, because the Rambam quotes a Medrash Rabbah, Bereishis Rabbah, that each one of the Yavas had a separate priest's bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'chatez b'si Yaakov, l'chatez b'si Yitzchak, l'chatez b'si Avraham Eskov, or Tzitzchak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with each one of the Yavas. And why did he have to make a bris with each one? Because he apparently endowed each one of the Yavas with a deeper Kedushas Yisrael. And Kedushas Yisrael means Kedushanu b'mitzvayis avitzivanu, that they became mechuyiv in mitzvahs. So mazvei that each one of the Yavas got some new mitzvah that didn't exist before. So Avraham Avinu is easy enough. Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah of Milo. That's clear from the Chumash. Yitzchak, the Rambam quotes the Bereishis Rabbah, Yitzchak Hifrish Maisis. Because it says in the end of Toldos that when Yitzchak was about to Bahira Boris, Malvad Harav Harish, and Shoyah and Avraham, Vayered Yitzchak Elavi Melech Melech Plishtin Grora, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him he shouldn't be there. So then he said, Vayizr Yitzchak Boretz Ahi, Vayim Tzabashan Ahi, Meir Shorim Vayivarchei Hashem. So what does it mean? He found that it grew 100 times as much as he expected it to grow. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, because he made an Omed Lemaisis. He was estimating how many bushels of grain does he think is going to grow. And then it turned out it was 100 times as much. Even though it was Vayizr Yitzchak Boretz Ahi, wasn't there to sell proper, it was only Eretz Plishtim, and was Bashana Hahi, was a Shnas Ravan. There was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, so nothing was growing well. So despite the fact that it had two strikes against him, that it wasn't Eretz Yisrael proper, and it was a Shnas Rav, nonetheless, it grew 100 times as much. And how did he know it was 100 times? Because he made it Oymed LeMaisis. Maisis, who's Mafrish Maisis? So the Rambam says, you see, the Medrash spells it out. You see from this Suk, you see from that Pasuk, that we have a tradition that Yitzchak was the first one who was given the opportunity to be Mafrish Maisis. So Avraham Avinu was given an additional mitzvah. The Rambam says originally, they're called Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. That's the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Melachim. So he says originally Adam Rishon was given 6 mitzvahs. He wasn't given Eid Menachai because he wasn't allowed to eat meat at all. He had to be a vegetarian. After the Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu permitted Noach to eat meat. Ki Erech Esav Nesata Lechem is called, I allow you to eat meat, like I allowed Adam Rishon to eat fruits and vegetables. Ah, however, you're not allowed to eat Ach Basa Ben Afsha Damal of Sofet. He's not allowed to eat Eid Menachai. So Eid Menachai was given to Noach. It wasn't given to Adam Rishon because he wasn't allowed to eat meat at all. But that's why we call it Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Noach, because there were 6 from before, and after the time of Noach it became 7. Then the Rambam writes, this is the way everything was going in the world till the days of Avraham Avinu. Then Avraham Avinu was given a mitzvah of Milon. He was the one who instituted to Daven Shacharis. Yitzchak was Hifrish Maisus, and he was the one who instituted Mincha. And Yaakov Avinu was given the mitzvah of Gidon Asher, and he was the one who instituted the Davar Ma'ariv. And then the Rambam's quoting, the whole thing is a quotation from the Bereishis Rabbah. There are different girsas in the Bereishis Rabbah. The Ravid picks on the Rambam's girsa. He likes a different girsa, but the Rambam is basically, the Rambam is quoting. This part of the Bereishis Rabbah, there are no 2 girsas about that. Yaakov was given the mitzvah of Gidon Asher. Then the Rambam says, this is the way it was until the days of Amram, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, Amram is given some additional mitzvahs. That must be a medrash somewhere. It's not a famous medrash. Ram says, Amram is given some additional. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was given a Mitzrayim, a couple of mitzvahs, that Pesach Mitzrayim, and so on. And then came Har Sinai, and it was Mashlim the rest of the Taryag mitzvahs. So the Rambam is not going to learn the Pasha Pshat and the Mishnah Gidon Asher, that the Machlokes HaTanoim is whether Gidon Asher was given to Bnei Yaakov or it was only given later to Hatzina, because we should pass them like the Chachamim. The Halach is like the Chachamim is only given later. And the Rambam quotes this Medrash that Yaakov Avinu had an additional mitzvah, namely the prohibition against eating Gidon Asher. So the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis has a different interpretation in the Machlokes in the Mishnah. He says everybody's masking that the mitzvah of Gidon Asher was given to Yaakov Avinu. But the Machlokes HaTanaim is, why is it binding today on us? Why do we today still abstain from eating the Gidon Asher? Is it because of that tzibur that was given to Yaakov Avinu? Or because it had to be repeated again at Har Sinai by Moshe Rabbeinu? And that's the final maskana. We pass like the Chachamim that it's not binding today because of the fact that it was given to Yaakov Avinu. Because Ein Novi Vashar L'Chadish Dova Meyato. Not only in country. Doesn't only mean that no prophet can contradict what Moshe Rabbeinu said. See, when the Rambam quotes it in Hilchas Yisodi HaTorah, the Rambam is referring to Yoshke and Mohammed, that they came and they said, we got a prophecy that God changed his mind, and you don't have to keep all the mitzvahs HaTorah anymore. He changed his mind. So that's one concept. No other prophet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not going to give an avuah to change the laws of the Torah. But the Rambam understands it to mean more than that. Even if a Navi says the same thing as Moshe Rabbeinu, but he says, I got benevuah that a din is binding the Doris, that's also a Novi Hashekah. Yaakov Avinu came before Moshe Rabbeinu. So Yaakov Avinu is going to tell us a din the Doris, that you're not allowed to eat Gidon Asher the Doris, the Rama, even though that's Taka the din. It's not a contradiction to anything that Moshe Rabbeinu said. Before Moshe Rabbeinu came on the scene, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't born yet. Still, ain't Novi Rashai Lahagid Mitzvah the Doris. Not Lahadish in the sense of contradicting Moshe Rabbeinu. Even not to contradict, no Navi other than Moshe Rabbeinu can give a mitzvah that's binding throughout all the future generations. So it cannot be that we today are not permitted to eat Gidon Asher because of the tzibur that was given to Yaakov Avinu. Must be he was given as a Hayrashah, not to eat Gidon Asher. And it was repeated later at Har Sinai to make it binding for all the future generations. That's how the Rambam understands explicitly. That's how he writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis in Perek Gidon Asher, Maseches Kuvos. And then he adds on the line that's very startling. We mentioned it when we learned Parshas Lech Lecha, that the fact that we today still continue to observe the mitzvah of Bris Milah, he says it's not because it was given to Avraham Avinu. No, given to Avraham Avinu would only be a nevuah lohay rasha. We observe Milah today because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu or Hasinai, so that's why it's a mitzvah. The term mitzvah is a technical term that has the connotation of that it's noig l'dorim. So other prophets, other than Moshe Rabbeinu, were never given mitzvah. They were only given nevuah. Nevuah means hayru
hasha. So even if we're saying that non-Jewish prophets, that Ben Yishmael would not be chayav as ben Mila anymore, because the fact that Torah was given, it was only given to us, and therefore they don't have a mitzvah of Mila anymore,
even though Yeah, the Rambam has there's a machlekes Rashi in the Rambam. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Bnei Keturah were chai the Mila. The children that Avraham Avinu had from his wife Keturah, not Yishmael. The children from Keturah were chai the Mila. So Rashi says those six children, those six sons, who I mentioned in the Chumash, Avraham Avinu had to be mal them. That's all. And the Rambam doesn't agree with Rashi. The Rambam learns that Bnei Keturah throughout all the future generations, Ara Yom Azeh, Achayev to observe the mitzvah of Mila. Not Bnei Yishmael, only Bnei Keturah. And the Rambam says, well, we don't know who's who. So since there's a Tarubis, so all the Arabs who are in the running, anyone who may possibly be a descendant, may be a descendant of the Bnei Keturah, the Rambam says they're all chayev to be mal b'zman hazeh. But if they don't want to be mal, we won't put them to death. We won't give them the punishment. Usually we say, azor asam zoi misasam. If a benoich is in violation of one of his mitzvahs, he deserves the death penalty. He deserves a sight. So the Rambam holds that that even applies on a mitzvah sese. The Ramban disagrees in Chumash, and this week said, the Ramban says that azarasam zui misasam only applies to an azhara. If the benoich violates an avera, he violates eif menachai, he violates gezel, he violates arayis, he violates avodah zarah. He violates something, but if the bishay be'al tasid, he doesn't fulfill a mitzvah of dinim. He sees that the lawlessness, and he sees people sinning, and he doesn't do anything. And it's beholter to do something about it, and he doesn't do like the city Shechem. They saw that Shechem attacked Dina Bas Yaakov, and they didn't do anything about it. So the Rambam said that's why they all deserved the death penalty, because they were all in violation of the mitzvah of Dinim. They could have done something about it. They could have brought him to punishment, and they didn't. So the Ramban HaFumish argues with the Rambam. Where do you find this in the Gemara? Azarasim Zui Misasim, that Bnei Noach deserved the death penalty. They deserved Sai for having violated an Avera, but not for having not fulfilled the mitzvah Saseh. But that's the Rambam holds like that, and he says the same by the Mila. He says that all the Bnei Ketur Arayim Azer, they're all Chayiv in Mila. Not only, like Rashi learns, Avram Avinu was obligated to be Mal, the six children that he had, the six sons from Keturah, and that's all. No, the Rambam learns that throughout all the future generations, the future descendants of Keturah, of Bnei Keturah, of all Chayiv in Mila, and Bizman Azer, said Tarubis, that any Arab who thinks he may be for the Bnei Keturah has to be Mal himself, but if he's not Mal himself, you don't give the death penalty, he's suffering the fascist law. That's what the Rambam writes. Shagasari has a tshuva. He thinks that Rambam doesn't make any sense at all. That there are Nochrim today who are chayvim more than the Sheva Mitzvahs been in us. But Bnei Keturah have a mile over the others. But how can that be? He thinks that Rashi is certainly right. That the only Bnei Keturah chayvim Mila, Avram Avinu is mechuyif to be Mal, the six sons that he had from Keturah. But that their children, the Dori Doris, they should all Arayam Azer, they should all be chayvim because of a Tarus. Shagasari writes, he doesn't think that the Rambam is right at all.
Isn't like Morin Tanaim says the Emanu Gidon Nashal Bovad that we're learning that was a mitzvah that was not Chazar Minishtanis?
The Gemara says I'm Gidon Nashal. I don't remember.
Gemara in Sanhedrin is examples of Chazar Minishtanis in the Sanhedrin.
Yeah. Giranasha, yeah. Giranasha was about
that what? That we're chayav and Beinoach are not chayav because it wasn't Chazar Minishtanis.
So the Gemara assumes that what? That originally it was given to all the goyim. It was given to all the goyim.
The Gemara is whether or not there was a mitzvah to Sivoy to Beinoach. And then if it wasn't Chazar Minishtanis, Bimei Moshe, then only Bnei Yisrael are chayav.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a raya that we're chayav because
so the Gemara seems to say that it was originally given to even the goyim, and then later on was taken away from the goyim.
Right, because it wasn't.
Wow. This is right on that Gemara Chulin, that the whole machlekes hatanaim libnei noach nemra means to the bnei Yaakov, not to the goyim. And from this Gemara, it's the poshup shat in this Gemara nun tes and a day, and Sanhedrin sounds like even the non-Jews before Matan Torah were not allowed to eat Gidon Asher. Only after Matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah changed, and only the Jews are not allowed to eat.
But isn't that a raya against the Rambam anyways? Because the Rambam is saying that, you know, the Gemara is mashma, that the reason we're mechuyu is from that original tzibur.
Nemar v'nishna. Not necessarily. Maybe that's the reason why it changed. He says, Nemar v'nishna, it was told originally, then it was repeated in Matan Torah. So from now on, it only applies to Bnei Yisrael. And the binding force is only the second tzibur. So I've got to figure out that Gemara. What does it mean there by the Gidon Asher? That was Nemra v'nishna. So it was originally given, Koyde Matata, that was repeated. It was originally given even to the non-Jews. So Tyson says on the Gemara that the Ovis Koyde Matata are referred to as the Bnei Noach. That when the one Tana Rav Yudah says that Gidon Asher was given to Bnei Noach Nemra, it doesn't mean all the Bnei Noach. It means only Bnei Yankiv, not all the Goyim. I don't know. Got to figure out Pshat on the Gemara. So this is the Rambam quotes this Gemara is a Nikir and Emuna, Eila Mitzvah. Said that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaNavim, and he was the only. What do you mean Adon HaNavim is giving grades? He's giving marks. And what about Yeshaya gets an A plus, and Yirmiyah gets an A minus, and Yecheskel gets an A, and Hoshea gets what, a B? He's grading them. No, Adon HaNavim means that he's the only one who was given Torah. The other Navim were given Nevuah. He's not grading them to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was greater than the others. What he means to say, Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one whose nevuah was sometimes elevated to the level of Torah that is binding throughout all the future generations, as opposed to the other Nevi'im, they were on a lower madrega, they only got nevuah, they never got Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was Adon Avim, he sometimes got Torah. It's really repeat, that Iker, the Rambam has 13 Ikori Hamun, so that Iker and Hamun is really repeat of the other Iker, Shezos HaTorah Sehim Uchlefes. That's exactly the difference between nevuah and Torah. And the Vuah, by its nature, by its very nature, means that it's only temporary. And Torah means, by its very definition, by its very nature, that it's binding the Dorah. So, Satar Lo Sehi Mochlefes. And the Vuah will be Mochlefes. you have a couple of mitzvahs that did change. You have the ksav, the rishonim eska kasha, and Megillah, and the first daf. You have the mitzvah of the ksav of the Sefer Torah. The Gemara has a machlekes in the second parak in Sanhedrin. Why is it called ksav ashuris? So the accepted opinion is, as the ksav sha'olei moi me ashur. It's called ksav ashuris because it came back from Golas Bavel. They changed the ksav. Ezra changed the ksav. It says ksav hanishpevon. The ksav of the Sefer Torah was changed when they came back from Bavel. Now they have a right to change it. So the Rishonim answer that Moshe Rabbeinu already wrote in the Chumash because of the lost Mishnah HaTorah Hazor. So the Gemara says they had a tradition. The word Mishnah HaTorah means Ksav Shosed Lehishtanos. Moshe Rabbeinu was told that the Ksav of the Sefer Torah is going to be changed in the future sometime. So when is it going to be changed? So you need a Navi to tell you. But when the Navi comes and he says now is the time, he's not inventing something Yesh B'yayin that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know about. Moshe Rabbeinu already said in advance Mishnah HaTorah Hazor said it's Ksav Shosed Lehishtanos. At some time in the future, Navi will come and ascertain and establish that now is the time that the din that Moshe Rabbeinu said should take effect. That's what the Tesis in the first daf in Perek HaOral and Yevamah the Dafayin and Beis Tesis about the Kasha. The Gemara says there that we today have two parts to the mitzvah Mila. We do Mila, you cut off the outer skin, the thick skin, and we fold back the Or HaPriya, the thin membrane. We fold it back. And the Gemara says from the days of Avram Avinu till the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they didn't have Priya. They only had to do Mila. The mitzvah was fulfilled by doing Mila alone. And only after the days of Yeshua ben Nun did you have to do Priya. How do you know? Because the Pasuk says that when they were when they first came over to Eretz Yisrael, B'shuv Moles B'nei Yisrael Sheinis, in Gilgal, they had to do a second bris Mila. So Mara asks, how can you have Shuv Moles B'nei Yisrael Sheinis? How can you be Mala person a second time? Once they had a bris Mila in Mitzrayim, so it's not trying to be Mala people again. So one could have interpreted the pasuk differently, that in Mitzrayim there was a big national milah. Everybody had milah. For so many years in Mitzrayim, no one observed the mitzvah milah. So everybody fulfilled the mitzvah milah at one time. During the 40 years of the traveling in the Midbar, only Shevet Levi observed mitzvah milah, and the other Shvatim didn't observe it. So Moles B'nei Yisrael Sheinis means that it was a big national campaign that everybody together performed bris milah, but not that the same people who were 40 years old, they were born before Yetzias Mitzrayim, they had a bris milah. So now they have the second bris milah. You don't have to learn like that. But the Gemara understands like that. The Gemara in Yevamos understands. Shuv Moles B'nei Yisrael Sheinis. They should do a second milah. Even the people had the bris milah in Mitzrayim, they only had milah. Now from now on, you have to do priya. So Tosha says to Kasha, how can it be? This is in violation. What do you mean? Yeshua ben Nun came, and he said in Nevuah to change the laws of Moshe Rabbeinu. We should give him the death penalty. We should treat him like a Novi Hasheker. How did they let Yeshua ben Nun get away with this? That he changed the din of Moshe Rabbeinu? The Tosafot says it must have been a halacha l'Moshe Misina. It must have been that Moshe Rabbeinu told him in Nevuah that the din was going to be changed sometime in the future, and then he got the Nevuah. Now is the time that it's supposed to be changed. Same as the Shinu in the Ksav over the Sefer Torah. Or the same as it says, Lasi Lava, there are going to be 9 Ori Mikla. It says there were 3 Ori Mikla in Eva Yad, and 3 Ori Mikla in Eretz Yisrael. Then it says, Miachav Hashem Alkechaz Gevulcha. So the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Malachim that the only Limos HaMashiach, the Dine HaTorah not going to change. The only one din that's going to change is about the Ori Miklot, because that's what it says in Chumash, that one din is going to change. Instead of 6, they're going to be 9. And the same thing, the Ikarim, the Sefer Ikarim has a taina. Rabbi Yosef Albert has a taina against the Rambam. The Rambam says, make such a big yisoid, an ikar about this. Ein nav shalach hadish dovah meyata. This is one of the Ikari ha'emunah. Shazas atar losi mochlepes. So the Ikarim taina is, but the Ramban HaChumash quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi, Eshmos chadoshim helo imoha mibavel. So until the days of Ezra, when they came back in Golas Bavel, they practice was that they counted the months by numbers. Achadish HaRishon, Achadish HaSheni, Achadish HaShlishi. That Nisan is the first, and we don't give names to the months, we give numbers. And after Golas Bavel, they changed their system and they gave names to the months. That is Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, and so on. So the Sefer Ikarim kindness, isn't this in contradiction to the Rambam? That the Rambam says, Zosatar, Losi, Muchlefes, you're not going to change anything. So the Ramban HaChumash explains on Parshas Bo, he says, this wasn't changing the laws of the Torah. The Chachamim at that time felt that this was included in what it says in Chumash. Achodesh Azalachem Rosh Chodashim, Mishan Lachalim Chodesh Hashanah means You have to incorporate the geula, the zecher to the geula into the luach. That's why you start counting. Achodesh alachem starts from Chodesh Nisan, which is the Chodesh HaGeula. So after the geula from Golos Bavel, so the Chachamim at that time understood you have to make a zecher, you have to incorporate into the luach a zecher to the geula from Golos Bavel. So they understood that this means you should put in the Shmos HaChadoshim also. So we don't have any Novi. That's what the Rishonim explained. We don't have a Novi coming up in later generations with a new mitzvah, even not in contradiction to what Moshe Rabbeinu said. See, Mohammed and Yoshke came up and they contradicted Moshe Rabbeinu. Even if you don't contradict Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't come up with any new mitzvah satir. The mitzvah satir remain. The world is changing. The whole world is changing. So the dinim apply differently in every generation, but in principle and theory, the mitzvah satir don't change. You have the same taryag mitzvah satir. The few instances of shinuyim that we have are because these were already told to Moshe Rabbeinu that the ksav is going to be nishtana, and there's going to be six or nine are in miklot, and there's going to be a priya. There will be a requirement for priya and so on. So this gemara, the Rambam considers a very serious principle of amunah. The context of the gemara is in Tzmura Daf Tezayin. The gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, they forgot 300 halachas. So they approached Yoshua ben Nun. First they approached Eliezer. Eliezer ben Aaron HaKohen. And yes, Mishir Yeska Niur Metumim to ascertain what the din was. So he said, Lo ba shamayim hi. And then they asked Yoshua ben Nun, he should get a nevuah. So he said also, Eila mitzvahs, Eina mishal v'charizdo v'miyata. So he wasn't trying to contradict what Moshe Rabbeinu said. They're trying to figure out what was the din. They had lost, they had forgotten 300 halachas, so they're trying to figure out again, alpi nevuah, what the din is. So the Gemara says that's a violation of Eino Avishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Me'atah. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to give a nevuah. Aye, but the Gemara says, Menatz Pach Tzoyfim Ma'amorim. The Gemara says, Shchochem V'chazro B'yizdum. The Gemara says, it cannot be that the Nevi'im, the Tzofim, invented, they introduced these final letters, that's a violation of So it must be that this was always the case from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. There was a Mem Sofis and a Mem Sucha and a Mem Suma and so on. They had all the Oisius, but it was forgotten. The Chosru B'Yizdom, and they reinstituted. Had they reinstituted B'Nevuah? It's all from B'Nevuah. They reinstituted B'Nevuah. That's also a violation. That's what it says in Tamura. They asked Yeshua ben Nun that he should rediscover these 300 missing halachas that they had forgotten when we have the Shalom Moshe by getting a nevuah. So he says they're not allowed to. So how did the Tzofim do it? So the Rishonim explained. It's not that they got a nevuah. No, 95% of the people lost the tradition about the Mem Sofis, the Mem Psucha with the Mem Suma. They didn't know what goes in the beginning, middle of the letter, middle of a word, what goes at the end of the word. But there were 10% of the people who always retained it, or 5%, or 2% of the people who always retained it. They always knew which was the final letter and which was the middle. So Chazariism doesn't mean Alpi Nevuah. They were Nevi'im. That's why we call them Tzofim. They were Tzofa Biracha Kodesh. But they didn't reinstitute the final letters based on the Racha Kodesh and the Nevuah that they had. That would also be a violation of Eila HaMitzvah. That's what it says in Tzmura, that Yeshua ben Nun wasn't allowed to reinstitute the 300 missing halachas. They reinstituted because they didn't forget it. They maintained the tradition and they just popularized it by the masses. They educated the people.
When
Pilpul does, yes.
So I understand not doing it from the Gula, but shouldn't also doing it for Pilpul make this stuff up to. Why is it
bizarre
to be in the Haddish things
for
Pilpul?
We do it all the time. That's the Midrash HaTorah addresses that. That's exactly what we do all the time. Pilpul is
HaTorah.
We're always manufacturing halachas. Shmir Shabbos Kolchas, every page is manufacturing halachas. Of course, this one said this and this one said this. They invented it based on the Midrash HaTorah and Adrash system.
That's not over on the sand.
No. The Torah was given to Bnei Yisrael with the rules and regulations, with the Midrash HaTorah and Adrash system, that we should darshan it. We should break our heads and figure out the deen. And not that we should ask a Novi, the Novi should make it easy for us. You've got to make it the hard way, not the easy way. That's called Pilpul HaTorah. Yeah.
The Gemara
Mm-hmm.
So in these Lower Shemayim, he should explain that method once the Torah is given, if you don't consult about it.
Mm-hmm. Right? Right. You have to work it out on your own. That's right.
The Rambam in school is saying that if that's a machlokes tanaim, that the whether the authorization comes from Sinai, according to the way the Rambam learned the Mishnah, that that you have a minority of tanaim saying that the authorization doesn't come from Sinai, it comes from, let's say, Gita Nashik.
Yankiva, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
How could that be?
Yes, the Tana Reb Yehuda also knows in Novishalacharis Dava Meyata, but it only goes on contradicting Moshe Rabbeinu. But here it's not contradicting. He chapsois. Yaakov Avinu says that then before Moshe Rabbeinu was born, he was told the Nevuah that you're not allowed to eat on Moshe. And that's binding throughout all the future generations. Okay? So Reb Yehuda holds that. That's binding. And he says, we don't accept Reb Yehuda's opinion. He says, according to Rachachavim, this Mishnah is part of a big Yisoid in Amunah. And it's in Amunah. And Rabbi Yehuda tones down the Ikra and Emunah. Okay. Then the Gemara says that the Mem Samach Shabluchas Vanessa Hayuomdim is on the assumption that the letters were engraved through and through. It says, Mizeh Mizeh Hem Ksuvim. That's what it says in the Chumash. You can read it through and through. But you couldn't read it. If you look on the other side, you can't read it on Nochi Hashem Alakecha. If on this side it says Anochi, on the other side it's going to say the opposite. So that's what the Gemara says. If on this side it would say Nevuv, on the other side it would say the opposite, Buban. On this side they would say whatever, Bahar. On the other side it would say Rahav. On this side it would say Sora. On the other side it would say Varos. Yeah. Rashi and Tosfos both point out, Tosfos it is a kasha. Rashi just says, yeah, the Gemara picked on words that these words, Nevuv Luchois, appears in Chumash, but it doesn't appear in Aseres Adibrois, in Bahar. Bahar Sinai, Tarsus Bahar, Sora, Mahem, and Adar. These words appear in Chumash, but they don't appear in Aseres Adibah. So why did the Gemara pick on these words? It says, Tema, why do they pick on these words if these words don't exist in the Aseres Adibah? Rashi says, Lahoy beluchas so the Tega be almanokah. The Gemara chapton stama word that's easy to say backwards. Bahar, it's not so easy to say backwards. What's Bahar is Rahav, okay. And the Vuv is Buban, okay. Stop the Gemara, but they really should have given Anochi. And they should have said how you spell Anochi backwards. That's what Rashi and Tosfos say. The Beis HaLevi has a long essay on this, where he, from the end of the Beis HaLevi is a Shadas HaTshuvas, three halakim, three volumes. So at the end of the second chelik, Beis HaLevi, he has a collection of drushes, long drushes that he gave. So one of the drushes is on this Gemara, and he develops a whole theme based on many midrashim and many passages from the Zohar, and then he said that's what it means in this Gemara also. Not like Rashi and Tosfos, that there was a difference between the text that appeared in the Luchos Rishonos and the text that appeared in the Luchos Shniyos. In the Luchos Shniyos, only the Aseres Adibros appeared. And that's what it means in the Pasuk. So Luchos Shnei Luchos Abarim Ka Rishonim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kimen Moshe Rabbeinu, you smash the Luchos, this time you make a new set of Luchos, V'chasavti Al HaLuchos, and I will engrave on the Luchos, as HaDvarim Asher Hayu, Al HaLuchos HaRishonim, Asher Shibarto. So what does it mean, Asher Shibarto? Let us say, Mahayu, Allah Luchos HaRishonim. No, on the Luchos HaRishonim, before Moshe Rabbeinu smashed it, there was Kol HaTarakula was written. And the word Nevuv was there. And the word Bahar was there. And the word Sora was there. Kol HaTarakula was there. But then when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to smash the Luchos, so it says, Moshe Rabbeinu saw Osius Parchos Bavir. So what happened, which Osius Parchos? So the Beis HaLevi has a long arichus. He says the Osius Parchos were the rest of Kol HaTarkula, except for the Aseres Adibis. Aseres Adibis did remain. So then HaKadosh, so when he smashed that, at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu smashed it, the only thing that remained was the Aseres Adibis. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the second time around, V'chasavti al halachos eshad varim asher hayu, al halachos harishonim asher shibarta. On the second luchas, I will only write the Aseres Adibis. I will not write Kol HaTarkula. So that's where the Beis HaLevi develops a whole theme that according to the original plan, there wasn't going to be, if not for the Chet Egel, there wasn't going to be such an institution as Torah Shebaal Peh. There was just going to be Torah Shebichsav. And whoever had a Shiloh would look on the Luchas and be able to find all the answers. Like some of the Lubavitchers would look in the Rebbe's Igris and they could find all the answers to whatever they're looking for. So yeah, it even almost as good as Igris. Almost as good. They'd be able to look in the Aser, look on the Luchas, and everything would be there. You wouldn't have to delve into ask any Shiloh. And then the Beis Halevi gives all explanation why this had to change. So he says after the Chet Egel it had changed, and there had to be two institutions, Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. And then the Torah Shebichsav, the written part on the Luchas was only the Aseres Adibres. And then it's going to be more Torah Shebichsav, but there's going to be a big, tremendous chelik that's going to be Torah Shebalpeh. So he interprets, Beis Halevi interprets not like Rashi interprets. After he quotes all of his midrashim and all of his passages from the Zohar, quite a few sources. And then he said, that's what it means in the Gemara also, Nevuv and Bahar and Saru, these did appear on the first set of the Luchas. On the second set, not. On the first set, it did appear. Then the Gemara tells this story. Amr le Rabbana le Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Who was Rabbi Shua ben Levi? Rabbi Shua ben Levi was at the end of the period of the Tanoi, in the beginning of the period of the Amorim. He was a bar plukta of Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara in the end of Megillah has a machlekes Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, which has a higher level of kedusha, beis haknesses, a beis hamedrash. The Gemara assumes with davar pashut that we always pass like Rabbi Shua ben Levi, with very few exceptions to the rule. Two or three exceptions to the rule, but basically we always pass like him. So he was early Amorim, late Tanoim, early Amorim, the generation where the first generation of Amorim. So Tosfos says this same story appears in the Talmud Yerushalmi as well as in the Bereishis Rabbah, and the whole thing says about Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, that they were from the Dardiki, they were from the little children, they were generations before. Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua were Tanoim. And Rabbi Shua ben Levi was in the days of the Amorim. So Tosfos says Cholok al Hashashalom. It's two different versions of the same story. The Yerushalmi and the Bereishis Rabbah says that this story happened way before, and the Talmud Bavli says it happened later. Okay, so whatever it happened, Amale Rabbanah, the Talmidim came to Rabbi Shua ben Levi and they said, also Dardike, who is in the Beis Medrash, the young children. Dardike means little children. Came to the Beis Medrash and they just learned Aleph Beis. And they darshan the whole religion, the whole Jewish religion, based on the alphabet. The religion begins, and they said such good Torah, afilu the amru mili, and they said were pearls of Torah, good words of Torah, afilu b'mei Yeshua ben Nun, le'itnum kabasai. That was mamish, the first generation of Torah, was Yeshua ben Nun. Moshe Rabbeinu got everything straight from the Rebbeinu. He had nothing to add on his own. Moshe Rabbeinu said everything b'pi agvura. Yeshua ben Nun was the first generation of someone saying some original Torah Shebal Peh. He said these tinoikis, they said ikori hu amuna based on the aleph base. It was gevaldim. What did they say? Aleph base elof bina. The first step in our religion is you got to learn Torah. Elof bina. Rashi lemo Torah. That's the first thing. The second step is gimel dalet gimel dalet. You have to give charity. Okay. And then they had a comment that you have to chase the wealthy people. Have to chase after the poor people. The Dalit stands for the Dal, the poor man, and the Gimel is the Gimel Dalin, and the leg of the Gimel is stretched out towards the Dalit, means that the rich man has to chase after the poor man. My time of shoot to carry the Gimel, the Dal, how come the leg of the Gimel is leaning towards the Dalit? She came to Akrish, the Gimel Dalin, she came to Chasadim, Loritz, Acharadam, has to chase after him. And then the Dal shouldn't give him a hard time. The poor man, sometimes they give you a hard time. So he says, my time of pshut the carry the dalit, the gabi gimel. How come the back of the dalit, the body of the dalit, could have been leaning forwards, could have been leaning to the left? So that would indicate the fact that when the gimel dalit is chasing after him, so he's running away to give the guy a hard time. So it's not to the left, it's not to the right either. He's embarrassed to go ask the rich man for an adava, but he stands there and he doesn't give him a hard time when he gives him the adava. So that's what the Gemara says. My time of shoot to carry the dollar. How come the body of the dollar is standing straight? The gabi gimel, the lematzi le nafshe. You shouldn't. The oni shouldn't give the rich man a hard time when he wants to. When he wants to give him the stuff, but still the front of the dollar is to the left, and the gimel dollar is to the right. Shouldn't the front of the dollar have been towards the gimel? If the guy's giving him an adav, so the Gemara says no. The rich man should have enough sechel. The wealthy people shouldn't give tzedakah to the poor in such a way that they should be embarrassed. So that's why the face of the dalit should not be facing the gimel. Okay. So they were making yisoidus in our religion based on what they had learned. All they knew was alephes. So they figured out all ikor hamuna. So then if you'll do like this, if you learn Torah, give charity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be kind to you, he will be zon you, he'll be give you a chen, I'll be made of lecho. He'll give you a crown, boilam azeh, boilam abo. And then they said, mem. There's a mem stum and a mem sucha. That's the connection here. There's a mem sucha and mem stumma because we left off shem yishimit. We left off the Mishnah shem yishimit. Mem sucha, mem stumma. So they said, the two mems represent, there's a maimah pasuach and a maimah sasum. What does this mean? So Rashi interprets over here, yesh dvam she nitan rishus l'dorshan, yesh atem mitzuvah l'sasman, could go in maisa merkavah. There's certain parts of Torah which not everyone has the right to learn. Only Yechidim, Mishnayis have a chagiga. Who has the right to learn maisa merkavah? The halach is open to the public, everybody. That's maimah pasuach. Some parts of the Torah, tzitzis and tefillin and Shabbos and kashrus, taras hamishmona, that's for everybody. And ma'amasasa means there's some areas of Torah which are restricted audience, restricted people to learn. Then it says num kfuf or num pshuta. What is that? Neman kafuf, neman pashuf. What do you mean neman kafuf? Rashi writes neman kafuf. Adam kashit sof there's kafuf v'onov. He should be humble. We want everybody to be humble. And if he'll be started off as a humble person, by the mazeh, he will turn out to be a neman pashut. So for this pashut v'zakuf l'olam abo, he will be zeichet to go to olam abo. Then the Gemara continues, tzaddik, there has two forms, tzaddik fufo, the tzaddik pshuto, there's a tzaddik that's bent over, and then there's a tzaddik that's straight. So he says again, the tzaddik, there's a tzaddik kofuf by the mazeh, and he's going to be a tzaddik pashut l'olam abo. So the Gemara says, Hanu, that's a repeat, Hanu, neman kof and neman pashut. Why do you have? What do the children explain the same thing twice? That the Yirei Shamayim, those who have Amunah, the people who have Amunah, Adam Kasher should be Kafuf, and this will lead him to be Pashut and Adam Abba. He'll be proud to reach Adam Abba. And they repeated the same thing on the Tzadik Kafuf. And for the Gemara, what the children said was, Hasvulach HaKasuf, what Kasuf? Pasuk. They're darshaning the Aleph things. They're drasha. They felt as if this was like a hoslach hakasuf tfifa al tfifasim and kanshin nitin tar b'monad rosh. The way the children, the yidardiki, darshan the alephays, so they understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be extra specially humble. That is Rashi right. B'monad rosh anovi yisera, extra special humility. Humility is the Rambam writes in his commentary on Mishnayis. Miod miod hevish Rabbi Levita sishi avne oimer miod miod hevish maruach. So the Rambam explains in the Pirush on Mishnayis, and he quotes that Mishnah in the Mishnah Torah as well. The Hilchos Beis that with respect to all the other midas, the Tana is recommending you should go b'derech hamamutza, not to go either to one extreme or to the other, to go in the middle. With respect to humility, it's miod miod. Rabbi Levita sishi avne says you have to go to the extreme. Miod miod hevish faruach, that you're not allowed to go b'derech hamamutza. That's what Rashi writes here. Anova yisera. That's what the Dardigi said. Hos v'loch hakasuv k'sifo al k'sifosai mikan shenit nahatara b'monad rosh. If a person wants to be matzliach more in learning, he has to be more humble. Anova yisera. That's a medrash. The medrash says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose to give the Torah on Har Sinai? It's a low little hill. It's a little hill. The big mountains came and they were complaining that the Torah should be given on the Kavod Hashchina, should be given on a taller mountain. The Baruch Shalom said no. He wanted to show that the Torah is only, one will only be successful in learning Torah if he will be humble like Har Sinai was humble. Learning Torah, we assume, we're learning about the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's exactly why we say that those are Torah Lasi Machlepes. I know Avishal Chavish Dov Miyato. A Nevuah is only a Hayrashah, but a din in the Torah is a description of Elokus. That's why we assume the laws of the Torah do not change. So the more a person learns, if a person is really learning Amit Shel Torah, what he's accomplishing is that he's coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The closer one comes to God, so the more humble the person has to become. Whatever he thought of himself, he thought so highly of himself, he's so great. Before he reaches closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once he comes closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has to have more humility. So you have to have arrogance to begin with, you have to have a little chutzpah, and you have to have self-esteem when you start to learn. If a guy thinks I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody, so he's never going to learn anything. You have to have an ego. If you don't have any ego, so you're never going to get to first base in learning. But once a person gets the first base, the second base, the third base, and makes a home run, and he realizes he's practiced succeeding and learning, and he's figuring out every time he's learning more, he's figuring out more, he's getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the closer he comes, so the more humble the person has to become. So he needs a little bit of arrogance to begin to learn, but then in the process of learning, that arrogance has to disappear. That's what they said twice. The Nun Kofuf and then the Nun Pashut, then the Tzadik Kofuf and the Tzadik Pashut. You have to have humility, and then it has to have, when he succeeds in learning, he has to have more humility. He has to grow in the humility. Another Yisera. Reb Chaim Volozhiner gives a mashal in the Nefesh HaChaim. He says that in Yerideya, they make an assumption that usually if you have a tray for pot and you're cooking soup, kosher soup, so we assume that usually you're not going to have shishim in the soup that you're cooking against the thickness of the pot. Unless it's sometimes now they do have to have gigantic pots and the walls of the pots are very thin. In factories they have like that. The walls of the pots are very thin and it contains, they have vats that are the size of this room. So then you can have shishim in the contents that you're cooking in the pot against the treifas that's below on the walls. It's it won't make treifas. But that's a rare case. Under normal circumstances, you don't have shishim. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes, the thinner the walls are, so the greater the base kibbutz will be, the more soup the pot can contain. So imagine if the walls of the pot are so thin, they're just mathematical lines that don't really take up any space. They're just theoretical mathematical lines. And this has 100% contents inside. So he says that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was. Moshe Rabbeinu was the honor of Mikol Adam. He didn't hold from himself. So that's why his base kibbutz was the maximum. He was able to receive the maximum amount of Torah. The people who are arrogant, that's like the thickness of the walls of the pot. Their body, their mind is the base kibbutz. But if to the extent that the walls of the pot have a thickness, so to that extent, the amount that you can put inside the pot is going to be diminished. And to the extent that you thin out the walls, the thinner the walls are, and if the walls are imaginary walls, they're just mathematical lines, so then you have the maximum that it can contain. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Talmud Chacham. He was the Rabbi Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was the most humble person. Honored in Kol Adam. Anyway, this was the secret that the children realized. The more a person succeeds in learning, so the more humble he should be, because success in learning means that you're coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Learning means you're learning about the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if a person is learning Lamita Shel Torah, if he's just making up everything, is misunderstanding everything, he's far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if he's really understanding Lamita, means that he's coming closer to understand Elokus. That's what the Torah is. The Torah is a description of Elokus. So the closer he comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so his arrogance should melt away. It's understood that he's going to become more humble in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what apparently the children are saying. First you have Nun Kfufa, Nun Pshuta, Nem on Kofu, and then you have that Hasvila HaKasu, Tifal Kfifasa. After he succeeds in Alof Bina, after he learns a little bit, and then he's successful in coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then this is Mechayev him. It's expected of him that he's going to become more humble. And by being more humble, he will be more successful in learning. So everything is called Zeb Zeb. Then the children understood that the Kuf and the Reish, the Kuf is the Kaddish and the Reish is the Rasha. The Kuf is the Kaddish, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Reish is the Rasha, a person who is a Rasha. My time of Hadar Apid the Kuf, the Reish. What does that mean? The kuf is open up to the reish. The reish is backwards. Rashi writes over here, Lishna Ma'al Yehu. The kuf, the kaddish doesn't have his back. The kuf is not backwards. The reish is backwards. Why aren't they facing each other? So he said, the Rabban Shalom doesn't want to be mistakel b'snei adam rosh. Ain't any yachol mistakel b'rosh. Doesn't want to look at the rosh. But nonetheless, my time had a target the kuf l'gabi reish. But there is a keser. There is a tag on the left side on the top of the kuf that goes up. So how come there's a keser there? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if the Rasha does tshuva, I'll be happy to give him a crown on his head. And the kosher lakesi kimoshi, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a crown. If the Rasha does tshuva, we'll take him. We'll give him a crown on his head. Then the Gemara says, in my time I carry the kuf to Luya. How come the foot of the kuf is not touching the top? How come there's an empty space? So this represents the idea that Haboli Tahir Nisayin also. Haboli Tome, if a person wants to do an Avera, then the Gemara says, Min HaShemayim, they don't make it easy for the guy to do an Avera. The two girsas in the Gemara Taisan says, one girsa is Psachim Lo, there are open doors. If you want to do an Avera, they let you do the Avera. The other girsa is Poschim Lo, the doors are locked, but the guy wants very much to do an Avera, so from heaven they'll open up the doors, they'll give you the ability to do an Avera, but they're not going to help you do the Avera. Haboli Tahir, but if a person wants to do tshuva, a person is a Russian, wants to do tshuva, and Messiah knows that they will help him more than they will help the Russia who wants to do the Aver. See, the Tesis is a misprint in the Tesis, the bottom Tesis. Is the guy to Bole Tamei Psochim Lo? Without a vav, we should say Psochim Lo. Kloimer, Yesh Lo Psochim Likoneis. They don't open up any doors. There are doors that are open. Bole Taher, if a person is a Tamei, he wants to purify himself, he wants to do Tshuva, Messiah knows that Sheposchum of Pesach Likoneis, they'll help him do Tshuva. And then they say, well, I know the guy said, Bodhi Tami Poskin Law, that's the Gersa that we have an Agama with a Vav, Poskin Law. It doesn't say Psochim Law. So it says, when a fellow wants to do an Aveira, they help him do the Aveira, Poskin Law, they help him do the Aveira. And he wants to do a Mitzvah, he wants to do Tshuva, Messiah also, so it's the same thing. Whatever you want to do, they're going to help you. So the Gemara is quoting it from the context of the Gemara. It sounds like they help you more if you want to do Tshuva than if you want to do an Aveira. Where do you say they help you more? The Tesis says, Poschim Lo, they only open the door. And you got to walk in to do the Aver yourself. Messiah also means they pull you in. They open the door and they pull you in. If a person wants to be a tzaddik, it's easier. Then HaShemayim, they will assist him. It'll be easier for him to do mitzvahs and to be a tzaddik than to do Aver. So the Gemara said, that's why the kuf, the leg of the kuf doesn't touch the roof, the gag of the kuf. So the reish that represents the Russia, if he ever decides to turn to the right, that's called doing tshuva, to go to the right. If he ever decides to, no, that's metaphorically. If he ever decides to do tshuva, to go to the right, so he's going to go to the right of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's going to be more frum than God himself. So how's he going to get there? He's going to go around the Cape of Good Hope, whatever. He's going to go all the way around the bottom of the kuf. So no, there's an opening in the kuf, so he can go straight through. That's how the Gemara says. That's why there's a space, my time is carried the kuf to Luya. How come the leg of the kuf is suspended? It's not touching the top of the kuf, the gag of the kuf. If he wants to do tshuva, he can go in the middle. So that represents the idea of all the time the sinos. So the Gemara speaks about the emes and sheker. It's hard to find emes in this world. This is the oil of masheker. So the Gemara says, shikra shchia. The oil of masheker, it's everybody's mashaka. Kushta lo shchia, it's rare. That's why to find MS, you got to search all over. You got to find Aleph and Mem and Tuf. Aleph is the beginning of the alphabet, Tuf is the end of the alphabet, Mem is the middle of the alphabet. Sheker is right there. Sheker is all over the place. The Sheker, Kuf, Rei, Shin are always next to each other in the alphabet. So Sheker is all over the place. Because we live in the Olam HaSheker. After you die, you go to the Alma Dikshay. That's the Olam HaSheker. This is the Olam HaSheker. So the Sheker all over the place. Comes the most natural thing. Okay, they darshan, the children darshan the whole religion based on the Aleph Beis. Then they also understood based on the Aleph Beis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't let the Jewish people go to Gehenna. Gehenna is for the other Ummah's Olam. It's not for us. That's a Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara says, Avram Avinu sits al pischo shel Gehenna. And whenever Yisrael comes, Avram Avinu checks to see if he has a bris milah. He asks if he's gemalt, he doesn't let him go to Gehenna. Sabe lahatzel yididu sharene mishachas lamabrisa shesambiv sarene. That's the bracha that you say by bris. So that's the gemara in the last daf in Rav Lezer Demila. Here it is. Kuf lamed, zayin on the base. So Rashi writes on that gemara. So there's Rashi and the Perek. Perek Yutef. The bor doesn't have water, that's Gehenna. That's in Zechariah chapter 10. So it says, because of the dam bris that the Jewish men have, That's why the prisoner, Shalachti Asirayev, the Jewish prisoners, the sinners who belong in Ganem, they're removed from Ganem, from the Borei Mayimbo. That's the Yalkut Shimon, he has it on that pasuk in Zechariah chapter 10, and the Gemara has it in Erevin. The Gemara has this whole Agarat in Erevin. Avram Avinu sits on Pischa Shel Ganem, and he doesn't let the Jewish people go into Ganem. Unless he's a Boel Aramis. If the fellow's a Boel Aramis, so then it'll be Nimshachor Losa, the Gemara has a Losa, and then Avram Avinu cannot recognize him. Loim Avaskele, he cannot recognize him, then he lets him go into Ganem. So Pasha Pshat, it's very strange, what do you mean? A Jew whose Boel Aramis becomes Nimshachor Losa, how does it happen? Probably doesn't mean a Mitzvah. The Stama, medically, it doesn't change. Some of what it means is that Avram Avinu was given a package deal. He was given the four mitzvahs together. You have to have emuna, lias l'chol l'kim, and then l'zarcha achrecha, you shouldn't intermarry. L'zarcha achrecha zara miyuchas achra. If he marries an ochris, then it's ain't zara miyuchas achra. That's how the Gemara Yevam is daf kuf understands the pasuk. Then he was given the mitzvah bris mila, and he was given Eretz Yisrael. These four, that was the whole package of the bris Avram Avinu. So if one violates any one of those, so he's in violation. He's not part of Klal Yisrael. So that's why he says, one who's Boel Aram is the equivalent of Nim Shechor Lot, as if he didn't have a Bris Mila. Because he's in violation of one of the four basic Klalim. Before the Bris Sinai included all the Tayag Mitzvah, the Bris with Avram Avinu, the Bris Ovis was very little Bris. It was very little. That's, you have to have whoever lives up to those four conditions of the Bris Ovis, that's called Klal Yisrael. So that's what the Gemara says here. That the little children understood the secret. That Gehenim is not for the Bnei Yisrael. They don't go. Gehenim is for the Umas Olam. The Bnei Yisrael doesn't let Bnei Yisrael go into Gehenim. Temporarily. Temporarily, a person that didn't have it, temporarily to go to Gehenim. But the Gemara says to go permanently, that's only for the Umas Olam. Yeah. The Beis Yosef in Yoredei quotes in Zohar that when one recites Kaddish for a parent, if the parent deserves to be punished in Gehenim, so one of the children, the descendants, recite Kaddish, and that's part of the parents from Gehenim. Shaito Upalgo, it says. It's part of the parents from Gehenim, Shaito Upalgo. So some misunderstood Shaito Upalgo means an hour and a half. And there's a... There's another passage in the Zohar that says that people only go into Gehenim 12 hours a day, not the full 24 hours a day. So if reciting Kaddish is played at the parents from Gehenim for an hour and a half, so you got to recite Kaddish 8 times a day. 8 times an hour and a half is 12. So that'll be redeeming them from Gehenim for all the time. So that's why there are people who are makpid to recite the Kaddish 8 times a day. They make everybody crazy because they have to say Kaddish 8 times. So on the bottom of the page in Yeridaya, when they have Shinai Vav, the Siman that has about Kaddish, and the Yosef quotes the Zohar, so on the bottom of the page they say that Rav Chaim Vital said that that's a misunderstanding of the Zohar. Shaito Palga doesn't mean an hour and a half that you have to say eight times. Shaito Palga is the name of one of the Meduri Gehenna. When the children say Kaddish, whenever they say, when it's their turn to say Kaddish, once a day, twice a day, once every 3 days, you alternate. When it's their turn to say Kaddish, this will redeem the parents from the section of Gehenim that's known as Shaito Palga. But it's not, that doesn't mean that it's played to them. Each Kaddish spares them for an hour and a half. That's what they're printed on the bottom of the page in the Yeridaya. That's and they quote from the Vilna Gaon also, the Sefer HaGros. They quote, the Gros said, same as Rav Chaim Vital, that Shaito Palga is one of the sections of Gehenim. It doesn't mean it's played to them for a day and a half. Okay. And on the base, the lean edit tomorrow. So again, so tomorrow there's a presentation of the bugs. I'd be interested in seeing it. And after the presentation, whenever he's finished, we'll start shiur. This week, I'll only give shiur on Monday and Tuesday night.